Let us pray.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it shares with us if we choose to believe it. And even if we don't, it's still your truth. And we pray that you will give us hearts, minds, lives that struggle with it in our attempts to be the best disciples of you that we can be. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Some time ago, I received a piece on the internet about how to attain inner peace. Now, we're all looking for that, right? We all want that inner peace that helps us to feel good about life, to feel at peace with the world around us. The person writing said that they had discovered, finally, the way to achieve it. The way to achieve inner peace was to finish all the things they ever started. So they looked around the house to see what things they had started and hadn't finished. And before leaving the house that morning, they finished a bottle of red wine, a bottle of white wine, Bailey's, Kahlua, Wild Turkey, Prozac, Valium, some cheesecake, and a box of chocolates. Said, when I left, I felt good. The truth of the matter is, it's a wonderful thing to finish a job you've started. It brings a sense of peace to finish something. We speak of it as closure, but I think closure is just another word for peace. And that's how I want us to look at the passage from Deuteronomy about the last days of Moses this morning. Moses had lived a long and fruitful life. He was considered, if nothing else, to be the spokesperson of God to the Hebrew people. He was the elder statesman of the Hebrew people. He'd lived to the ripe old age, and his sight is unimpaired. He's still vigorous in body and spirit. And our text today tells us that he climbed Mount Pisgah, and then without any sadness or grief, he died. Now, most of us would covet a death like that. No long, lingering, painful illness. No one has to make any end-of-life decisions or exercise a living will. The death is expected, and everyone's had their chance to say goodbye, to offer thanks for life, and also, if need be, have gotten right with the person who is dying. This seems to be a death made in heaven. Well, actually, if you read it the way it is written in the Revised Standard Version, it is a death made in heaven. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him, he being God, buried him in the valley of the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no man knows the place of his burial to this day. So according to the Revised Standard Version, it was a death made in heaven. One side note, though, and because no one supposedly saw Moses die, there was a strong tradition that he did not die. And that is why the gospel writers bring him back in the transfiguration story of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is with Peter, James, and John up on the mountaintop. And there, Moses and Elijah appear to talk to Jesus. Now, Elijah was carried up into heaven in a fiery chariot, according to the vision of Elisha. Two people that we don't seem to have any real recorded death announcements. But back to the death of Moses. What we see, though, is that his death is not a perfect death. If Moses was human, and I have no doubt that he was, it could not have been perfect for him. He worked for most of his life to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, and he has been their representative before God. He's argued with God a couple of weeks ago. We heard that he had to talk God down to keep God from annihilating the Hebrew people after the golden calf incident. All of this was to preserve and to prepare the people to go into the promised land. The land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give to their descendants. And Moses was leading them to it. But he doesn't get to go over. He does not get to go over and see it. He does not get to see the completion of his lifelong path. We can only imagine at how he must have sat around the campfires in the evenings thinking about what it would be like to take the Israelites into their new territory. We can imagine how that vision must have comforted him when the people were unruly and had driven him to succeed when he sensed the possibility of failure. We can imagine it. Because we've all dreamed dreams like that. We have succeeded in bringing some of them to fruition. And we've known the joy of it. But perhaps we have also, and if not, we shall surely experience by the time our life is over, the realization that some of our dreams will never become a reality for us. And we're going to have to let them go. There was a wonderful movie in 2007, The Bucket List. Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman were two guys in a terminally ill cancer ward. And Jack's character had been working on this bucket list for some time, and he talks to Freeman's character, and Freeman adds a couple of things. And the next thing you know, they've checked themselves out of the hospital and they're off to fulfill their dreams that they have recorded on the bucket list. And I believe that they succeeded in doing all or almost all of them, but the last one, they needed help. And I'm not going to say anymore in case you haven't watched the movie. It's a wonderful movie. Eric Erickson has often been called the father of psychosocial development. He was a German-American who immigrated to this country in 1933 to become Boston's first child analyst. He died in 94. He developed his 8 stages of psychosocial development, which is required learning for anyone going into psychology or education. I had to learn about it because of my music education degree. And I bring this up now because the last 2 stages of life, which includes middle age, which he defines as between 35 and 60, and later life, which he says is 60 plus, are centered around realizing and not realizing dreams. Middle age, he says, is a time of generativity versus stagnation. A description of this stage states that there is a need to go beyond self and family and be involved in helping the next generation. This is a time of adjusting to the discrepancy between one's dreams and one's actual accomplishments. Failure to achieve a sense of productivity often leads to a psychological stagnation. And the later life stage he calls integrity versus despair. If one looks back on life with few regrets and feels personally worthwhile, ego integrity results. Failure to achieve ego integrity can lead to a feeling of despair, hopelessness, guilt, and resentment, and self-rejection. Of this stage, I think it could be said that if we look back and find that we've not been able to let go of certain dreams, then we feel unfulfilled, and we end our life in this sense of despair. But if we can let go of them and still not feel regret, even though we did not achieve them, we can have integrity. The truth of the matter is Moses is like all of us. We, like him, will leave some things unfinished. Our closets will still have bags or boxes of paper that we always said we would go through. We'll have the pictures on the wall that we always said we would write on the back of them who would get them, but we never did. We will always have that book that we said we would write, but then we never wrote. We never got to be the sports hero or to save someone's life like we always wanted to. Only a few people get to be president or the head of a Fortune 500 company in a lifetime. And more than likely, we will not lead a nation of people out of oppression like Moses. We live and will live modest lives. And in one sense, it would be easy to be discouraged about that. And if you think of it, we were set up for this. When we were growing up, our parents and our teachers loved to tell us that you can do anything in your life and be anything in your life that you want to be or do. And most of us all had some pretty big things. So, in a sense, it is a problem that we come by quite naturally. And it's easy to be discouraged. To go through life and see the dreams fall by the wayside. There's a wonderful Sally Forth comic, Francesca Marciano. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. And in it, Chad, Sally's husband, is working at his computer and he's looking discouraged. And Sally says, "Something wrong, Ted?" Ted says, "I just Googled myself and got no hits." Sally says, "Come again? Ted, you know, I typed my name in the Google search engine only to have it say it could find no mention of me. I mean, I know I'm not a celebrity or anything, but you'd think after all these years I would have done something worthy of notice." Sally, "You have. Why else do you think you get nothing but praise from your family and friends?" "Oh, you're right, Sal. You're absolutely right." And then she looks at him kind of ponderingly and she says, "But still, it wouldn't hurt if I got someone to program a website in your honor, huh?" "Oh, nothing fancy, just a few articles and maybe an animated GIF or graphics file." Now, we've all been where Ted is. If nothing else, the story of the death of Moses can give us hope. By the way, I did Google myself once. You should try it. It's kind of interesting. Moses gives us hope. We're told how great Moses is and how he is the only mortal one whom the Lord knew face to face. And yet, even Moses was not able to accomplish everything he wanted to do. He was not even able to complete the task that he was called for, or called to do. And just like regular human beings in the end, he had to give up on some dreams in the face of reality. The reality of his own impending death. Moses finally had to give up the need to succeed at everything he started. He was called to be faithful, not successful. And it is for his faithfulness that he is honored and remembered. In the end, what is most important is not what we succeeded in doing, but how faithful were we to the covenant with God? How close did we follow the life and teachings of Jesus? That's why Jesus says in Matthew, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And if we do that, we'll also love our neighbor. But the two commandments call us to faithfulness, not to success. And here I'm not talking about success in terms of getting lots of money or anything like that. I'm talking about success in terms of feeling that our lives are success. And that's what matters most in the sight of God, our faithfulness. And of course, we will not be perfect even doing that. But when we need to, then we can fall back on the grace of God, or as Martin Luther and so many others before us found out, that's the only way that can save us or make our lives a success. We can have faith in the grace of God. May God give us the grace that when the time comes to let go of the dreams, we may have the faithfulness and the gratitude for the lives that we have lived, for the accomplishments that God has let us enjoy, and let the others go. That seems to be how Moses ended his life. And may it be so for us as well. Amen.